Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, and let's all read verses 4 through 6, and let's allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Can I get an amen? Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, God, we're asking that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Let's all read. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints of God, the theme of our trip to Israel was the prophecy of the dry bones. Now, many places that we went, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn mentioned the dry bones, the dry bones, the dry bones. So throughout Israel's history, there have been so many nations and tribes and countries that tried to exterminate the Jews. And many almost had their way. One particular one was Germany. So, one of the things that God promised the Israelites when they were in bondage in Egypt was, number one, the promise to Moses on Mount Nebo, the land of milk and honey, for the children of Israel. Now, as we were heading back from the Dead Sea, and we stopped where the Dead Sea Scrolls, we looked across the Jordan Valley and we saw Mount Nebo. Now, we didn't go to Mount Nebo, but that's where Moses was up there with the children in Israel. Now, God allowed Moses to see Israel, the land of milk and honey, but he was not allowed to cross in with the children of Israel. Why? Because he disobeyed God. He smote the rock in anger. And so God said, because you did that, Moses, your descendants will go into the land, but you won't. And so we're going to see in this teaching that there's some things that God commands and there's some things that God says, walk in obedience. Can I get an amen? And so here's that Mount Nebo right there on the very top. We saw it on the very top right there. It was looking straight right at us. Now, on prior trips, I've been up there. But that Mount Nebo is in Jordan, so we couldn't go into Jordan. And then close to Mount Nebo is the city of Petra. And so God had promised the Israelites the word of God and also the assurance that God had prepared a land for them after they were set free from bondage in Egypt. And one of the things that I could honestly say for you and I, that God prepared another life for us when he set us free. Can I get an amen? Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, so let's look at this. Let's look at Deuteronomy 34. Let's look at this. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisac across Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea. Verse 3, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when I said, I will give it to your descendants, I have let you see with your eyes, but you will not cross over it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He was not allowed to cross. Let's look at verse 6. He buried him, God buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. And you know why? Many theologians believe why God hid Moses' body is because he hid it from Satan. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses to do. And this is kind of like when we get saved, is that God now commissions us no differently. Like Joshua was commissioned to lead the children. Now guess who's leading us? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is leading us. Can I get amen? Verse 10, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was the only one that can see God face to face. Now look at verse 11 here. Who did all the miraculous signs and wonders of the Lord sent them to do in Egypt. To Pharaoh and to all his officials, to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So, there was a promise. And God promises us, hallelujah, even on this earth, great and mighty things. God allows us to prosper. God allows us to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God allows us to have a new life in Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. But there were some things that God warned Moses to teach the children of Israel not to do certain things, because there's blessings and also there is cursings. Can I get an amen? And so let's look at this. Moses left specific instructions to avoid destruction. Oh, yes, he did. And he told them, I'm not going to be with you, but I'm gonna place a mantle on Joshua to lead you into that promised land. But there's some specific things that God says you must do. In other words, this was something that was not negotiated. When God commands something, we got to take heed in his commandments. Can I get an amen? So let's look at Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Look at this. If you fully, now, this is the words that came to God, to Moses, to Joshua, and to the children of Israel. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations. God will do it. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 3. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs and flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. In other words, God will supply all of their needs according to what? His riches and glory. Look at verse 6. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And I see God's blessing upon us. Can I get amen? The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Can I get an amen? I don't care who rises up against you. God will have the final word. All God is saying is just be hush about it. Take it to the Lord. He will fight your battle. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. He will fight your battle. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Wow, he would just scatter them. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he has given you. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9 here. The Lord will establish you as a holy people. And the Bible says in 2 Peter that we are a holy people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Can I get an amen? And it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. It's all because of Jesus. Thank you, God. God is so good, isn't he? He's a mighty God. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he promised you on oath. When God speaks it, it's done. Just like you said just a few minutes ago, you could take it to the bank. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth will see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. My goodness, when you're walking in the Holy Ghost and the power of the anointing, people will know that God is with you. Can I get an amen? They will see it clearly. They will see that you are not like them anymore. Hallelujah. And not that we're better, no, but we are a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus, thank you, God. We're new creatures now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Look at verse 11 here. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, and the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in a season and bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. In other words, you will be the head and not the tail. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know what's a blessing? And we had to learn the hard way. But Sister Yolanda and I, we don't have one credit card. Can I get an amen? Amen. We don't want one. We don't want to be a slave to the lender. God said to be free from that bondage. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. It's only but the grace of God, but some of us got to go through some things to figure it out. I don't want to go that route no more. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Look at verse 13. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you the day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top. God is saying that if we seek the Lord Jesus Christ daily, hallelujah, and honor him and praise him and worship him, hallelujah, he will set us above, hallelujah, these things that try to set us apart from him. Oh yeah, the world comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. That's the devil. But Jesus said, I've given you life and life more abundantly. Thank you, God. Look at this. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. And so that was instructions. And all they had to do was say, yes, Lord, and amen. What is God saying to us today? That we would have the same heart. Yes, Lord, let thy will be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, look at number 3. Israel's disobedience was their demise. See, God set out. He set out a blueprint. And all he said, just follow my ways. Just acknowledge me. But if you veer off and go somewhere else and follow after foreign gods, then the plagues will come. Oh, yeah, it's right here in the Word. Let's look at this. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. What? My goodness. Look what it also says here in verse 18. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. We just read that if we obey or they obey God, they will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. This is totally opposite, isn't it? Look at this. The Lord will send you the curses, confusion, rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. They saw the miracles. They seen the manna fall from heaven. They seen water come from a rock. They saw the parted sea, the Red Sea parted as the enemies were coming. They saw everything. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the firstborn died in Egypt. They saw all those things, and yet somehow they fell in unbelief again. But as we continue in this sermon this morning, we're going to see the grace of God. We're going to see the mercy of God. we're going to see we serve a wonderful God. And so these things that he disclosed to the children of Israel were serious matters. Oh, yes. It goes on further. Notice he only had maybe one or two paragraphs about obeying and the blessings. He had so much about when you turn from him. Look at Deuteronomy 28:25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there'll be no one to frighten them away. What? Look at what else he says here. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Now, when we go to Israel today, we see something so prophetic. Because before 1948, they were all scattered. Scattered throughout all the nations. Look at this. There you will worship other gods. Notice the little g? Idols. They would turn to idols and wood of stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your feet. My goodness. My goodness. The Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread, both night and day, never sure of your life. You know people like that today? Always filled with anxiety and fear. Why? Because they have strayed away from God. They strayed away. Now, why were they scattered? Why did God allow them to be scattered? Because they fell away from the commandments. They turned to idols. They turned to things that were abomination. But look at this right up here. All these nations throughout history have tried to exterminate the Jews. And God almost allowed them to be exterminated. But look at this up here. Ancient Egypt is gone. The Philistines are gone. Assyrian Empire is gone. The Babylonian Empire is gone. The Persian Empire is gone. The Greek Empire is gone. The Roman Empire is gone. The Byzantine Empire is gone. The Crusaders are gone. The Spanish Empire is gone. Nazi Germany is gone. Soviet Union is gone, because now it's just Russia. And question mark about Iran. Are they next to be exterminated? But we just came back. We just came back to a land that's filled with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Because God had gathered them back. Can I get an amen? They still had their own language from 4,000 years ago. And they're still a people. Israel is a witness to the world. What God has done and what God will do. And that it is soon and very soon that Jesus will come to them. Hallelujah. And many will turn to him, because we were on the Mount of Olives and we saw that in Zechariah chapter 14 where Jesus will land on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I can't wait. You know why? Because the Bible says all the saints of God will be with him. Oh, God. Look at this. The Jewish people, the smallest of all nations, but with a friend in the highest places, the Lord God Almighty. God has watched over them. And the greatest catastrophe was the Holocaust, where 6 million died. And you know what? My father still remembers that time. Oh, yeah. It was during his time. My father was born in 1925. He saw the horrific thing that Hitler did. And he tried to exterminate all of them. Hallelujah. But God came in. Hallelujah. And rescued them. Can I get an amen? Amen? And right after, the whole German Nazi party, as soon as it fell, Israel, within weeks, became a nation in one day. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. We serve a mighty God. So, number four, God prophesied that he would gather them once again after he had scattered them. Thank you, God. Man, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets prophesied that God would scatter them and then bring them back to their land. And let me just say this. This is the prophetic time clock for you and I. Because now that they're coming back to the land, that lets us know that Jesus is on his way. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Because they're going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And once the whole nation says, blessed be the name of the Lord, man, watch out. Here comes God. And we all know why they're going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because we saw where they're going to scatter. We saw Armageddon. We saw the Valley of Megiddo. And when you come back tonight and see the slide, you're going to see that valley. Man, there's a perfect shot. I'm just going to give you a little tidbit here. Louisa and Alex are taking a beautiful picture, and right behind them is Armageddon. So remember that photo when you see it. Remember that. That's where the final battle will be. My goodness. We saw what's going to take place soon and very soon. But God prophesied. Look at this in Isaiah. I believe that's Isaiah. Yes, Isaiah 11:10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Thank you, God. Look at verse 11 here. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elon, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He's going to gather them all. Hallelujah. And he's already doing it right now. Did you know that every year there's pilgrims, I'm talking Jewish ones, that come to the land and they make Aliyah. God speaks to them and says, you're going back to the land. And they're having dreams. They don't know why, but they have to go back home now because God's calling them. He's putting a hook in their mouth. You're coming home. You're coming home. You're coming home. Look at this. Verse 12. He will raise a banner for the nations to gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be a jealous of Judah, for Judah hostile toward Ephraim. In other words, there's not going to be a northern Israel. There's not going to be a southern Israel no more. When you go back to the land today, it's all one Israel. God made it so. Just like he said. We're looking at something that's so prophetic in our day and time. Hallelujah. Look what else it says in Isaiah. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather them from the west. Look at this. I will say to the north, give them up. And the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who was called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Hallelujah. It's all happening right before us. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled before us right now. Like no other time in history. We are the generation that's going to see the Lord. Can I get an amen? We are that generation. Hallelujah. And you and I, we've been grafted in by faith. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm coming for the Gentiles first. Can I get an amen? And for 2,000 years, even Jews are getting saved. But God came specifically for the Gentiles. That's you and I. Hallelujah. God doesn't look at race. He doesn't look at creed. Hallelujah. He looks at all as flesh and blood with a soul and calling us to be saved. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. God is a good God. Come on, give him praise and glory right now. And so the prophet Ezekiel prophesied. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Many believe that during this past Holocaust, where over 6 million were thrown into the ovens, God is making those bones come back to life. Yes. And when you go to Israel, you see life, the hustle and bustle. And we were told if you're going to live in Jerusalem, you better have a horn on your vehicle. Honk, honk, honk. Man, our bus driver, Yossi, he was the bomb, wasn't he? He was. Come on. Man, I'm telling you, he got so close. Sister Louisa was sitting by the window, and she would go, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Because he was inches from hitting another vehicle. But he knew how to maneuver that thing. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, in the beginning, he was kind of like cold and, you know, just kind of reserved. Man, the Spirit of God jumped on him. And, man, we had that brother singing. And I nicknamed him Smokey. He looked like Smokey Robinson, an older Smokey Robinson. And when we told him, he said, Sababa. Sababa. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, saints, we too were dead who God raised up. How many believe that God came to you personally and spoke to your dead bones? How many of you can honestly say before you came to Christ, you were dead in sin and transgressions before him? How many of you can honestly say that you didn't have no mind to serve him? You had no mind for God. There was nothing that you wanted to desire about him. We were no different than the 6 million that were obliterated. Because we were walking in deadness of life. Hallelujah. We were physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. Come on, how many times would someone come witness to you and out of your mouth, bleepity, 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 bleep? Oh, yeah. Come on. You remember that? Or we would use the Catholic card. I'm a Catholic. You know, like a cross to a vampire? Get away from me. Or some of your friends would say, you know, you needed God. I'm so glad you found God. Well, what about you? You needed God too, right? We too were raised up, hallelujah, no differently. And so when we saw these places, we were on Masada. We were on the other side of Masada. And everywhere, Rabbi, the theme was about dry bones, dry bones, dry bones. And God was speaking, that's us. That's us. God is doing something in us. I got some word to back that up. Don't just hear it from me. You got to hear it from the word. Look at this. And you he made alive. What? Come on, we were dead. Basically, we were sleeping in our coffin. That's what we were. We were dead. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Look at that. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. Who's the prince of power of the air? Satan.
Devil.
He was the guy that, what do you call the guy that plays the flute? Come on, I know someone. Peter Piper, yes. And we were just following that guy all the way around. And he was just playing his flute, playing us. Waiting for us to check out of this world, to be cast into the lake of fire, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. So the Israelites who fell into sin were no different. And that's why God had to scatter them. And that's why the nations almost obliterated them, almost destroyed them totally. And we once were walking in that. But look at this. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Did you know what that means? When God saved you, he didn't save you just to have a merry life and praise God. That's a benefit. That's an attribute of God's grace. He saved us from a pit of hell. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. Look at this. By nature, children of wrath. Meaning the wrath of God was going to come upon us and destroy us. No different than those 6 million Jews. The wrath of God was upon us. just as the others. But God, say that with me. But God, one more time. But God, who is what? Rich in what? Mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Listen, it's not about the do's and don'ts. It's about, you know, how can I keep all the rules? No, we got saved because of his mercy. You know my testimony, I had $500 of crystal in my sock. Mercy came to me. I should have deserved death, and yet he gave me life. Hallelujah. Where were you when he found you? Hallelujah. He found you in a place where eventually you knew that you needed him. You needed him. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with he loved us, even when we were dead. Look at this. This is God's grace. He chose you despite of yourself. Despite of yourself, no matter the condition you were in. I don't care if you're a dope fiend. I don't care if you were educated, but yet you were religious. It don't matter. There's one spectrum to another spectrum. It's about a heart condition. Hallelujah. Look at this. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're sitting in heavenly places. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Hallelujah. Come on. Where were you sitting about 20 years ago? Where were you hanging out? Huh? I heard something. I'm glad I didn't say it. Someone said, well, we was hanging out in the bar. Chugging down a keg. No, that wasn't you guys, was it? Look at this. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Man, God's been good to us. How many believe he's been good to you? Come on, he's been good to you. We all deserve debt, yet he gave us life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He gave us life when we deserve death. Jesus, thank you, God. Oh, man. When you get a hold of this, you'll find out how much he truly loves you. Look what it says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We didn't deserve it, but it was a gift. Listen, when you give a gift to someone, you're not there to take it back. Remember that old saying when we were growing up? Someone tries to take it back. Oh, you Indian giver. I don't know where that came from, Indian giver. But look at this. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Man, we can't say, man, you know, I'm saved because of this. I'm that now, and I'm doing this now. Uh-uh. It's about his mercy. It's about his grace. His love. Look at this. Because lest anyone should boast, there ain't nothing to boast but in Christ. We boast in you, Lord. Hallelujah. I was dead and now I'm alive. And Lord, I'm going to praise you and glorify you and magnify you. For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now we can do the things of the Lord, where at one time we were bound to our sin. We didn't have a prayer life. We didn't care if someone died or lived. But now that we are made alive in him, man, we had an opportunity. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn was preaching at the pools of Bethesda. Hallelujah. And you know what? People on our bus, they just sensed, man, that the Spirit of God was upon us. They wanted prayer. We prayed for a stage 4 cancer sister. We prayed for another brother that had a tumor in his liver. Hallelujah. We prayed for a sister that her back was killing her. But why? Because they saw our faith. They saw the anointing of God. They saw that we were new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things, hallelujah, have become new. And they sensed the presence of God upon us. Can I get amen? We went there for purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And I'm believing, God, that God has done a miracle in their life. Can I get amen? They didn't know who to turn to but God. And what a place to pray for them at the pools of Bethesda, where a man who was crippled for 35 years, God made him whole right there at that spot. Thank you, God. And that place is a special place for me, right where he preached. Why? Because 15 years ago, Pastor Leo asked me to teach in his place. He had business with the mayor of Jerusalem. And that's where God birthed my pulpit ministry, right there at the pools of Bethesda. We come back all these years later, and all of us were joined in faith, and we're praying for souls. We went there on a trip. Hallelujah. There was purpose to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Can I get an amen? Walk in them. Because Romans says this, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk now in the newness of life. Can I get an amen? Man, there was like 250 people that got baptized. Thank you, God. And now they're walking in the newness of life. Thank you, Lord. It was a blessing to see all these souls. I've been there many trips. I've never seen that many went down. But the ones that came in our line, they got baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We're new creatures. Hallelujah. We this morning, the worship was so awesome. Amen. Come on, go back 15 years. Man, you was listening to something else. You were singing songs to somebody else. They weren't to Jesus. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Aren't you? How many are so blessed to know that you've been set free? Come on, we've been set free. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Thank you, God. We don't have to walk in those ways no more. Thank you, Jesus. Now we can go back and pull others out of the fire. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Because they don't know any better. They were like us. Doop-de-doos. Just walking around. Had no purpose until Jesus came. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Come on. We've been freed from what? Sin. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't let the devil blackmail you. Some of you may trip here, stumble here, and man, you guys immediately go into some type of depression. Man, rise up and say, I rebuke you, Satan, and ask God to cleanse you and wash you. Hallelujah. And keep moving forward. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Keep moving forward. Don't be held back. The devil wants to keep you in bondage and chained up. Hallelujah. He is a liar and the father of lies. Don't believe anything he has to say. Can I get amen? God's promises are true toward us. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him in him. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, he dies no more. If he dies no more, we will never die. Can I get amen? Not as far as the flesh is concerned, but our soul and spirit will never die. Because he has made us alive in him. Hallelujah. We have eternity now. Thank you, God. Look, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Aren't you so blessed to know that?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in his lust. So as the children of Israel were told, don't do certain things, God is saying for us no differently. Obey him. Walk in his ways. Walk in the glory. Hallelujah. Walk in the precepts and concepts of the word of God. And watch God bless your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But if we fall back into the things that the Bible says it's like going back to, like a dog going back to his vomit, then we bring a reproach to the cross. We don't want to bring a reproach to the cross. Amen? And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Why? For sin shall not have dominion over you no more. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is living inside. The anointing of God is upon us. And so now we see when the enemy's coming. And we know that we can rebuke the devil at any time. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? And so hallelujah, as we come in for a close, another sign that Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. We were there in Israel. It was all built up. All the cities are there. All the people are there. We went down to the desert, and there's things alive and growing down in the desert. Oh, yeah. Because the Bible says right here, for the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. In other words, we are the generation that's going to see the Lord. Oh, yes. Look at this, because this will be written for the generation to come. That is us. We're here now. We're that generation that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Listen, when this was written, we weren't created yet, but now we've been created. Now we can praise God. This is prophetic to us that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, for he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, and the Lord viewed the earth. He saw down there and says, I'm going to make some new people. Hallelujah. And guess what? He had your name and my name already in mind. Isn't that a blessing to know? Hallelujah. That he knew about you years ago, thousands of years ago, that we would be the generation that will see the Lord that's coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I know we've been here a little long, but it's good to be back home. And I'm battling through this cold and cough, whatever it is, but I don't care. This cold has to take a back seat right now. Amen. It's got to take a back seat. Thank God. Thank God. Now, when I'm done, I'll probably be coughing all the way home, but that's okay. I'm not coughing now. Praise God. You know why? Because God's power is upon us. Jesus. And so we know, because we were there, and we saw the places. We were on the Mount of Olives. We were on the Temple Mount. We were at the Eastern Gate. We saw where Jesus is going to crack open that place. And I don't care how many Muslim graves are there. He's going to obliterate them. Hallelujah. And he will come in his glory. Hallelujah. And we will be with him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Look at this in Matthew. Look at this right here in Matthew. Now he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? That's always been a question throughout generations, but I truly believe we are the generations that's going to see him. Can I get an amen? Yes. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come by my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, yeah. There's big wars about mounting up right now. That's right. Did you know that when we bombed Syria before we left Israel, that if one Russian would have got killed, that would have triggered World War III. Look at this. And you will hear wars of rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're going to see some things. God's allowed us to see these things. Can I get an amen? But the end's not yet. Hold on to your seatbelt. Hallelujah. We're on for a ride. Thank you, God. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. Right now, we've had more earthquakes in the history of the world. Don't have time to go into all that. Pestilences. Look how many people died with the flu this year in San Diego alone. That flu bug is a pestilence. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations. We saw in the Judean, these composts, they're like kibbutzes in the Judean desert. They're going to flee to Petra when the indignation comes, because all the nations are going to come against them at one time. And we saw the valley of Megiddo. We saw where it's going to take place. Look at this. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, do you know people that are just so cold-blooded? They won't even acknowledge you in your presence. Come on, bus riders. What did God show you? It would happen like this, wouldn't it? Look at this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. Hallelujah, man. Keep walking in the joy of the Lord. Keep on loving. Hallelujah. When people don't want to say hi to you, they don't want to love you back, that's okay. You keep on loving them. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Hallelujah. We saw people from all over the world come to the land. We saw Filipinos. We saw Chinese. We saw Indians from India. We see, you name it, they were all coming in their own tongue, praising God there. Why? Because God said it would happen. All nations would come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I close with this. How should we ought to live awaiting for his arrival? Huh? God gives us the blueprint. You know, we're going to be perfect? No. We're never going to be perfect. If you think we're going to live a perfect life here, think again. No, we live a life of faith. And we believe God, even when we soil our pants, we can still say, God, wash me and cleanse me. And he's faithful and just. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, sunk out slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. That's been the gospel message in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Repent, repent, repent. You know, repent is not a bad word. It's a great word. All that means is you're walking the course of this world, and you just make an about face toward God. And now you start walking toward God. That's all repent means. Come on, man. We were running to the clubs. We were running to the bottle. We were running to all this and that. And God says, make an about face and run toward him. And he will bless your life. Can I get an amen? Look at this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Here's the thing. When that thing happens, we will be out of here. You know why? Because the Bible says that you and I, we are not the children of wrath. Hallelujah. But of love and peace. God has saved us. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil lie to you. But this will happen here. And the earth that are all in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to live? To be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening of the Lord. Just learn to love him, obey him, love one another as Christ has loved us. And you're on the right road. Is it a perfect life? No. It's a life of grace and mercy. It's a life of forgiveness every day. It's a life of a repentant heart, walking upright before him. Even when we fall short, because the Bible says we all have fallen short of the glory of God. There ain't nobody in here perfect. If you think you're perfect, think again. The one that thinks they're so perfect and prideful, they need to come to the altar. We'll lay hands. Being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens. Say that with me. The new heavens. Listen, we were there in Jerusalem, and I was looking up. When we were on the Temple Mount, I was looking up because the Bible says that the new Jerusalem will come from heaven.
That's right.
And will lay upon that. All that's going to be wiped away, and we're going to be living in the new Jerusalem.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's not going to be made with hands. It won't be made of the Jerusalem stone. Everywhere we walked was Jerusalem stone. It won't be like that. It'll be a new place. And it'll come down from heaven. And so we look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligently to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, I just said we're not perfect. Can I get an amen? You know what spot and blameless means? Washed in the blood.
Because when God looks down, he don't see your sin. He sees the blood. The blood that have washed away your sin. You cannot see that with the natural eye, but hallelujah, in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. God sees nothing but the blood applied to you. And that's why the devil can't touch you no more. Can I get amen? Because the blood has been applied. The blood on the cross by faith. Jesus came to save us. Thank you, God. We are new people. Our bones have been resurrected. Can I get an amen? Man, we was out there shaking it with the rest, with the best of them out there. Without spot and blameless. Look at this. An account, the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as it was written to you. So saints, we were there for purpose. And tonight you're gonna see something joyous. You're gonna see the places where we gone to. You're gonna hear the things that we heard and things in that nature. And so I'm gonna pray right now as we close. And we're just gonna pray and ask God to bless our day. I thank and praise God that he preserved my throat this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship. We thank you, Lord, for what you have shown us. We thank you that you safely brought us back here, oh God. Lord, and we had a blessed time in the land. But I'm praying, if you're here right now or listening and you've never surrendered, you haven't become that new creature in Christ, I'm here to let you know you can receive God by faith through his grace, not of any works, lest any man shall boast. If you're here right now, you never received Christ, and you're listening right now on the internet, pray this simple prayer. And what I loved about wherever we went, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn would always give an invitation like us down here. That was a man of God. We were blessed to be a part of that. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for souls right now, here and abroad. And if you're here right now, say this simple prayer. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. And we thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. And so say this simple prayer right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I stand before you now, asking you, God, to forgive me for every sin. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me in the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Give him glory in the house. Come on, he's worthy. Jesus is worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, the altar is always open.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.